Green Bay Packers Clay Matthews and Nick Perry are listed on the injury report. So what's going to happen at the linebacker position when the Packers visit the Minnesota Vikings this weekend? We'll find out with Wes Hodkowitz of the Green Bay Press Gazette on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central next. Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snow, and along with Alex Talich. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for a game this weekend against the Minnesota Vikings. To do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone.
Expert interview.
We have Wes Hodkowitz of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Wes, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing good, Brian. How are you?
Very good. We're glad you could join us. Let's, Wes, we'll get into some X's and O's here in a second, but first, give us the health update on linebackers Clay Matthews and Nick Perry. A little bit of a concern this week.
Yeah, Matthews was able to practice all week in a limited capacity. He had a groin injury that came out of that last week's game against Philadelphia. But, I mean, all things considered, McCarthy and him also both said that they don't think this is something that's going to be too big of an impact. He even said yesterday this is probably less severe than the one he dealt with after Detroit and going into Chicago, and he played through that one as well. And I'm sure, I think as everybody wrote, he actually even had a 40-yard interception return in that game the following week. So I think from Matthew's perspective, it's probably looking pretty good. Perry's the one that's a little bit more up in the air just because of his injury history. He's, played in all 10 games so far this year, but that shoulder injury has kept him out of practice on Wednesday and Thursday. Obviously, we'll get the injury update on him and where he's exactly at, but Mike McCarthy's been saying all week that the biggest day for him is probably going to be on Saturday to see what he can do. And if he can't go, they would have to rely a lot more on Mike Neal. Jerome Elliott would probably also get in the picture, but I think they're still holding out hope that he'll be available. But it will be interesting to see because as we've seen with Perry and how they've shifted Matthews' role around, now becoming a starter in that defense, it'll be important for him to be around. And that's going to be a play that they're going to need going into this game against Minnesota.
Yeah, well, that's what I wanted to dig into a little bit more here. Assuming Perry doesn't play, and I have no clue whether, the likelihood of that happening or not. But, I mean, is there any chance the Packers move Clay Matthews back to outside linebacker full-time to kind of, make up for this shortcoming with Nick Perry being injured?
I'd be surprised if it was full-time. I could definitely see him lining up there more than he did last week. If you talk about just the traditional outside linebacker role, he only did that about four or five times, I think, that was mostly in the dime package. So I still believe that they would need to use him in that inside backer role or whatever that role is now in that nickel. But I think a lot of it would probably fall more on Mike Neal. And, Neal's probably playing some of his better football of the season right now. The only concern with him is he's just not as stout of a run player as Nick Perry is, who's arguably their best right now as far as an outside backer is concerned. But I think he could definitely be in the equation for them using him more in that role and maybe getting Sam Barrington more involved in the next to A.J. Hawk. But all things considered, I would be pretty surprised if they moved him back there exclusively going up against Minnesota.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I'm just playing devil's advocate a little bit here. But in the Packers secondary, the Packers have kind of had a timeshare going on at the slot cornerback position between Micah Hyde and Casey Hayward. And by the way, great job on your feature on Hayward published this week at the Green Bay Press Gazette. But do we expect this to continue with Hyde kind of getting more playing time than Hayward at the slot?
Yeah, well, thanks, Brian. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of the way things have shuffled out here is that you've had Taha Clinton-Dix sort of coming on and he's kind of taken over that safety spot next to Morgan Burnett. And with how much they've been running their nickel defense now, they've liked this matchup with Micah Hyde because of just how well he plays against the run. And you know, coming out of the bye week, that was a big area of emphasis for the Packers defense, is trying to contain that a little bit better. And the fact of the matter is, for as good of a playmaker as Hayward is, the Packers really like what Micah Hyde gives them in that capacity. So now you basically have their nickel backs for the last two seasons, both back and both healthy, and they're trying to figure out the best way to incorporate them. And I really like them. I like the rotation, how it's been working out. I think, as Hayward said too, you know, if he wasn't getting any playing time at all, it'd probably be different, but he's still getting his opportunities. It's not the 42 and a half snaps he got as a rookie, but he's still getting, you know, 25 to 30 opportunities a game. So there's still a chance for him to be out there, and they like his coverage ability. I know Joe Witt has said in the past, you know, everybody looks so much at the interceptions and the turnovers, but the thing a lot of people don't focus on is the fact that he just doesn't allow a lot of receptions either. So they're going to continue to work both of those guys. But, yeah, going into Minnesota, it wouldn't surprise me at all if, you know, Micah Hyde keeps getting the lion's share of the plays, especially with his interception, you know, 2 weeks ago and some of the plays he's been making. It seems like it's been a defense formation and an alignment that's worked pretty well for them lately.
I suggested on social media the other day that maybe in order to get Hayward more playing time, the Packers put him out on the perimeter on first downs in place of Sam Shields, mainly because Shields has been such a poor tackler. Is there any chance in hell of the Packers going to that extent? I mean, it takes some stones to take Sam Shields out of first downs, I would say.
Yeah, and probably the second thing is, too, is that if Shields does come off the field, it's probably Devon House that's coming on first, just because of how they like him out on the perimeter.
Yeah,
it's one of the really embarrassment of a riches the Packers have had this year that, you know, in the past years, they haven't had this kind of, you know, depth. I mean, that was one of the things that sort of touched on the article is, you know, when Charles Woodson was at his peak, they wanted him in the nickel as much as possible. And then when he goes down, they needed Hayward to play that almost exclusively. Mm-hmm. And then Micah Hyde, you know, goes very heavy at that position. So for that reason, I just think, yeah, they want to keep Shields. They want to keep Tremont on the field. So it's just basically been a rotation of what they can do in that nickel package, with Tremont occasionally moving inside and opening up some opportunities for guys on the perimeter. But I'm definitely, you know, not throwing the idea out of the question at all, but you know, just with Shields coming back and how well he played in stretches earlier this season, I just think they like that matchup, and they like the fact that he can hang, you know, with pretty much any receiver. That was one thing they definitely were missing when he wasn't available to them in New Orleans.
Yeah, I just personally think Casey Hayward might be the best cornerback on the roster. I'm looking for ways to get him more on the field more. I'm not a coach, but that's my personal opinion. We're talking with Wes Hodgkiewicz of the Green Bay Press Gazette here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Over on the offensive side of the football, Wes, Aaron Rodgers is, of course, playing out of his mind. What are the chances he directs the Packers on the road in Minnesota to an outing like he has the past 2 weeks when the Packers put up 50-plus points in back-to-back games?
Yeah, I don't think it's out of the question at all by any means. I mean, now and then very well, I mean, the tables could turn too. I mean, you look at Mike Zimmer's defense. I know historically we've all done the stories on, you know, how he's played well and schemed well against Aaron Rodgers, but I think you got to give a lot of credit to Rodgers. You got to give a lot of credit to that offensive line for keeping the pocket clean. And also, you know, the receivers for still being able to get open and be able to find some opportunities. I mean, that was one thing that surprised me the most, is that with how much, you know, the Packers have really been burning teams deep, you still saw Philadelphia try to stay in its base defense and go single high against them. And that was, in my opinion, the wrong play call. I know everybody said this week they weren't surprised because, you know, defenses are going to try to do what they do, but the way Aaron Rodgers is playing and the way he's been able to put throws in there the way he has, I mean, I don't know if I've seen him any better. It just seems like to me every week when we're talking to Alex Van Pelt, the quarterback's coach, we're asking the same question. I mean, have you seen Aaron Rodgers play any better than he has? And I think the answer, you know, for as well as 2011 went, their productivity and the efficiency of the offense, I think, is at an all-time high right now. So it'll be interesting to see what they can do against that Minnesota defense. I mean, obviously, Christian Ponder is not going to be playing in this game. You know, Teddy Bridgewater, it seems like, you know, still he's had maybe a couple good outings, but for the most part, you know, really still hasn't been, you know, a game-changing type quarterback. And, you know, obviously they throw in Ben Tate into the question now too, but the equation now. But all things considered, I just think the Packers just have too much talent right now. I think this is going to be one that they'll I do believe they'll win and win pretty handily. It could be close. You never know. But I think even on Minnesota's best day, it's going to be tough for them to win this one. Just with the role that the Packers have been on. That's not to say they're going to go and dominate everybody and they're going to come back to Green Bay and beat New England. I just think with the caliber of teams that we're talking about here and the caliber of quarterback play, I know as far as my predictions, when they come out this week, I think I'm going to be siding with the Packers.
One of Aaron Rodgers' targets here, Randall Cobb. Any chance of him signing a contract extension before the end of this season?
Yeah, I really, we did a story today, actually. It was Pete Doherty's column, and me personally, and obviously I'm biased, I really enjoyed it because he brings up a really good, you know, point that for whatever reason here, the last 3 years or so, Ted Thompson has really kind of stopped doing in-season deals. I mean, they've gotten some stuff done in training camp, but for the most part, I think maybe outside of Brett Goode, that was the last deal they've kind of completed in-season as far as an extension. Just because I think there's a little bit of concern there about injuries and, you know, the Carson Palmer kind of situations that you see where, you know, they sign a guy, extend him, and then, you know, suddenly he's hurt, and now you're paying for extended time on a player that's dealing with an injury. And mm-hmm. not that that's the end of the world, but at the same time, you can understand, you know, Thompson's concern with that, just considering how many they've had over the last few years. So I'm kind of interested to see how this plays out. I do believe at the end of the day, they're going to find a way to keep him in Green Bay. I think that was kind of the point of Pete's column is that, you know, they very well may take the same approach they took with Sam Shields and have to pay a couple extra dollars. But if they get, you know, solid production and, you know, 12, 14 touchdowns and his first 1,000-yard season, I think it'll be well worth it for them. And to keep those resources together for Aaron Rodgers, then, I mean, you have them all locked up, you know, him, Davante Adams, and Jordy Nelson for three more seasons. I think that's a pretty good basis to build around. I know some people wanted the Packers to keep around James Jones. I was probably wrong early this season in thinking that, you know, Jared Boykin and the new guys could just replace him and there wouldn't be a lag at all. And I just think with, you know, how that position's gone from, you know, a position where they've had an extreme, extreme amount of weapons to Nelson and Cobb kind of leading the way. With as young as Cobb is, I just think you have to build around him. That being said, it wouldn't surprise me if that deal doesn't get done until the off season. You never know, Thompson could surprise people and they find the right number and, you know, Cobb wants security and it gets done this year. But I just think with how he's playing and the agency that he's represented by, he's going to want to take this thing to free agency and get every dime that he can, which is, you know, obviously something that he definitely would deserve.
On the offensive line, Josh Sinn and TJ Lang have kind of settled into this routine of not practicing on Wednesdays and then taking part in practice on a limited basis later in the week. Is this something we're going to see for the rest of the season from these guys?
You know, it'll be interesting with Lang because I don't know the severity of his ankle injury or what exactly he's feeling. But anything could happen. Maybe this is something that will heal up in time and he can get back to a more, you know, normal schedule. I think with Sitton, though, the way that he talks about that toe and the ligament damage he has down there, that this is something he probably will, you know, have to put through the rest of the season to keep him, you know, healthy and on the field. You got to give him credit for all those guys that have gutted those injuries out. I mean, it's not to say they couldn't have been okay with J.C. Treader there or Lane Taylor in the long term. Obviously, Don Barclay showed that, you know, you can go in there and you can be a battler and really, you know, still hold that line so everything, you know, it doesn't fall apart. But at the same time, I mean, Lang and Sitton were having their best seasons, and that's something to be said for both of those guys, especially Sitton, who's already been to a Pro Bowl and probably should have been at one last year too. So I'm interested to see how this plays out. I think this is, you know, from what they've said, both of them have mentioned they haven't seen any regression at all. They're feeling fine. From just an in-game perspective and being able to go out there and kind of, you know, battle. But it's been important for, I think, Corey Linsley. David Bakhtiari said yesterday, too, he's never had to really start next to anybody but Josh Sitton. So to keep that chemistry going, they've only missed, I think, that one game with Brian Bulaga against the Jets. That's been important, and you see it in the stats, too. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is on pace to tie the second fewest sacks he's had in the season. So they had high expectations for that offensive line. There's had to be some adjustments with J.C. Treader's injury and not having Barkley as a swing tackle. But all things considered, I think the Packers have to be pretty pleased with how this thing's played out and the fact they've been able to keep those some of those offensive linemen on the field, even though they're dealing with injuries.
All right, Wes, what is going on with special teams? The Packers have allowed 4 blocks this season, 2 punts, a field goal, and an extra point, and that's just unacceptable. Does Sean Slocum get off the hook because of the punt return for a touchdown last week?
It's probably, you know, a little bit of give and take. Obviously, that isn't going to cut it. And I know Tim Massey this week, when he talked to the media, was pretty, you know, upset about it, just how everything played out. You know, the extra point in field goal units, it's a little bit interesting because the one byproduct of Sitton and Lang's injuries is they don't have them in that capacity right now, which means they've had to use some more defensive linemen. Josh Boyd was one of them. I remember talking to Josh last Friday. This is the first time he's ever played, you know, extra point, you know, field goal units. Never did it in college, never did it in high school. So that's been kind of an adventure for him. He's felt like he settled into it okay, but that's a new position, and sometimes it happens with special teams is you're going to get guys, maybe not necessarily in the field goal and kick, you know, extra point units that are doing it for the first time, but you are going to have to use players that in college didn't do a lot of that stuff. So the big key for them, I think, is going to being able to, you know, move forward and move past this and not let it, you know, kind of snowball because, yeah, with the fact that, you know, they've had the block punts this year and some of the breakdowns and containment. Obviously, you know, Sean Slocum said today or this week too that, you know, that I believe the one with Massey was that, you know, Brett Goode kind of lost his containment a little bit and the guy slipped through. That isn't good, and that's something they're going to have to correct and work on. I thought there have overall been a lot of positives still with special teams this year. Obviously, you talk about the punt return unit, second in the league. I think they're the 4th fewest penalties for those special teams. And the fact of the matter is, I think their coverage units have gotten a lot better too. But at the end of the day, if they needed those 2 extra points or, you know, they needed a timely punt and that game wasn't as out of hand as it was, and they're in a closer game, they're going to need those gimme plays. And if I'm sure this is an entirely different situation if they win by 1 point or lose by a couple with not being able to convert some of those chances.
Wes, you referred to it briefly earlier. You said you were going to go with the Packers. Do you have an official prediction? Are you waiting to publish it? I don't know. Are we giving something away here? Proprietary?
Holding my cards close to the vest here. I'm going to go with the Packers. I just think, like I kind of alluded to earlier, the caliber of team I just think is a lot better, especially on offense. And I know the Vikings have had young guys emerge. Charles Johnson emerged for them last week, the Packers' former 7th-round pick. I mean, there's been guys that they're getting involved in. It seems like, and I do think, you know, Mike Zimmer's a really good coach, and they're going to find a direction with that team. But I think from a consistency standpoint, Aaron Rodgers has talked about it in the past, too. They don't want a letdown, and a letdown a lot of times comes from a lack of preparation and a lack of order. And I just don't think, you know, with the way that they've been trending lately, and I know – New Orleans, they really took it on the chin, but for the most part, I think that was a big wake-up call for them. So I think the Packers are going to win this. I'm thinking off the top of my head, it's like a 10-point spread. My guess is they'll probably cover that. I with the way the defense is playing, if Clay Matthews is truly going to be okay with that groin injury, I don't see a lot relenting there. I think they're going to find ways to disrupt Bridgewater. And from the offensive perspective, back-to-back weeks of putting up as many points as they have and getting the contributions on the scoreboard from defense and special teams, I do believe they're going to be in for some significant tests here in this month of December and the rest of the way. But as far as Minnesota's concerned, they're looking to be able to carry some of those successes on the road. I think this is going to be a great venue at TCF Bank to be able to do that and get some of that momentum going.
Very good, Wes. Appreciate your time. Did you pre-order your tickets for Pitch Perfect 2?
You know, my wife actually is down in Florida right now, and she was at the Hunger Games premiere, and she didn't know that was going to be coming out. So when she saw the trailer, she was pretty psyched. She doesn't follow pro sports a lot, though, so I had to actually tell her afterwards that there were Packer players in the trailer.
Yeah.
But I'm actually a pretty big fan of it. She dragged me out to it, and I think it came out in fall of 12 originally, and I actually enjoyed it. So it'll be interesting to see those guys in there and see how much they're actually going to be involved. I know yesterday when they were talking, they said that they weren't even sure exactly how much of their stuff's going to be used. But obviously, they'll be there in some form or fashion to be able to make the trailer like they did.
I assume that it was filmed this past off season.
Yeah, in Baton Rouge, I think they said, TJ Lang, I think, said it was Sunday through Thursday. It was like a 4-day shoot because they had to go down there and do the voiceover work and then get their, you know, costumes done and get fitted and all that stuff. So it's, everybody thinks it's like a couple hour project. You just step in, do the thing and leave. But there's a lot of work, I guess, that went
into
actually getting that all worked out.
Yeah. Wes, thanks for joining us. I kept you longer than I said I would, but appreciate your insight and glad to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. You have a good rest of the weekend, okay?
All right, take care. Wes Hodquitz of the Green Bay Press Gazette joining us here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Friday morning. But now it's time for
Packers News of the Day.
We just alluded to it earlier about yesterday. I think the biggest news of the day was five Packers players appearing in a major motion picture, Pitch Perfect 2, the sequel to Pitch Perfect 1. We've got Clay Matthews, the starting guard duo, TJ Lang and Josh Sitton, along with David Bakhtiari and Don Barclay, all appearing in this movie. The trailer was released yesterday for the first time. Movie doesn't come out actually till May of 2015, so you gotta wait a while, but it was rather comical and fun to see this movie trailer come out the other day. I got a very brief clip here from the trailer. Listen to this. I think this is hilarious.
Could be the hamming that man sandwich.
Yeah, let's go!
That is Rebel Wilson reacting to Clay Matthews' sleeves being ripped off his shirt, exposing his biceps. Rebel Wilson saying, "I could be the ham in that man sandwich." Oh, that was rather good. So excited to see Clay Matthews and the rest of the Packers in this movie upcoming. It will be end up being this upcoming offseason. So that'll be a good reprieve in the during the month of May when there's little other Packers news to talk about. That'll end up being right in the middle of their off-season program. The Packers probably will be practicing at that time or just about to start their off-season program. We'll see how the calendar lines up, but that should be good. Other news yesterday, the Packers appear poised to release an alternate jersey. We've got a little post on this at Cheesehead TV. And by the way, if you want to watch the entire trailer for Pitch Perfect 2, we've got that up on the blog at Cheesehead TV. But through a site called uniwatch.com, uni-watch, we kind of have sleuthed out that the Packers in 2015 are going to unveil a new alternate jersey. And the timing seems appropriate because we're coming off a week in which the Packers wore those throwback 1920s Acme Packers throwback uniforms. And for the first time since they've unveiled those uniforms, you know, with the gold circle on them, there was like no publicity ahead of time. The Packers basically announced the week of the game that they'd be wearing these, whereas, you know, seasons prior, the Packers had been, you knew when they were wearing these. They had worn them once a season for like four or five seasons, I think, now. And you knew well ahead of time. And what they're doing is getting the publicity, you know, the marketing machine going. They want to sell these. And it's, you know, that's cool. Whatever. I myself have a Acme Packers company hat, a wool hat, a beanie. I think it's really neat. They appear to be, you know, done with that for a while. I think they think it's run its course and going to unveil a new jersey here. And there's no guarantee it's going to be another throwback. I mean, it may be for all we know. This all coming from a Nike catalog that's coming out, and it just has like a question mark where the Packers jersey is, because they're going to unveil something. We just don't know what it is yet, and we don't know the exact date. We don't know all the details, but it appears in 2015. New Packers jersey to look forward to. You know, maybe a throwback, maybe not. Maybe it's kind of, you know, a new color scheme. Could you imagine the Packers going with a gold, primarily gold jersey You know, maybe something like that. I don't know. We'll see. Obviously, it's something that they're not going to wear a lot, probably once a season or so. But a little change here from seasons past. Looking forward to that. I suppose maybe some of the biggest news coming out of the past 24 hours, it doesn't appear as if tight end Brandon Bostic is going to play in this week's game. This is kind of a continuing trend here for the Green Bay Packers. For Bostic, at least this will be the second consecutive game he misses. All this according to head coach Mike McCarthy at his press conference yesterday. Bostic hasn't practiced in 2 weeks. He's got a hip injury. This came actually out of the Chicago Bears game, the first game after the bye. Not expected to play. He'll probably be ruled out later today when the Packers release their injury report, but that was one item of note from yesterday that doesn't have to do with off-the-field news like movies and jerseys. That might have been the biggest, noteworthy development with the Packers in the past 24-hour news cycle or so. But as far as
the day ahead,
in the world of the Green Bay Packers, 1265 Lombardi Avenue on Friday, looking forward to the Packers releasing their final injury report of the week. And for one, we're kind of waiting on what's going to happen with the linebackers here. I think this is kind of the biggest storyline of the week here, is the health of Nick Perry and Clay Matthews. And Clay Matthews, from all appearances, from the comments from Mike McCarthy and Clay Matthews himself, that he would appear to be fine. I don't think that, you know, he's going to miss any playing time. I mean, who knows? I mean, things can change. But the good news is he probably should be all right despite this groin injury. The bigger point is with Nick Perry and what it could mean for changes on the Packers defense, whether it just means more playing time for Mike Neal at outside linebacker. And, you know, that's something he's done in the past and really something he's done this year, maybe just not, you know, a 4-3 down player. Mike Neal's getting plenty of playing time and has played plenty of snaps for the Packers, but, you know, perhaps maybe just not as much as he had before. So I don't really think that's too big of a deal, but I mean, could the Packers play Clay Matthews more at outside linebacker than they have before? And, you know, would that mean going back to the, you know, Sam Barrington at inside linebacker? And we've seen that earlier this season and, you know, hasn't really worked out all that well. Barrington's been okay, but he hasn't been anything special. And, you know, the inside linebacker rotation there, whether it's been Brad Jones, Jamari Lattimore, has been rather underwhelming. So really waiting to see that, but also waiting to see about these starting pair of guards, Sitton and Lang, and what they do. They were limited in practice yesterday. Can they go to full participation? We'll find out on Friday. Here's the comments from Packers head coach Mike McCarthy yesterday.
Well, I think it's clearly week to week. I mean, TJ and Josh, you know, have different injuries. It's something that's evaluated throughout the week. Tomorrow is obviously a day that'll definitely help them. So we'll see how they respond. I couldn't tell you really until after the medical meeting tomorrow what their practice status will be for Saturday. But, you know, I'm not really concerned about their, you know, their team reps, because they do all the, you know, the walkthroughs and the pre-practice stuff and so forth. So they're, you know, they're still getting the reps. They're just not getting the full speed team reps.
Yeah, about the only question is whether Lang and Sitton end up becoming full participants in practice. You know, it's pretty much a given that they'll play, considering they've played each of the past 2 weeks. I can't see that changing. But prediction time here on the show. I've got the Packers winning 35-21. You know, can the Packers continue on this you know, trend of back-to-back 50-plus points? Can they continue that in Minnesota? I would think that's unlikely. Like Wes Ibkowitz said, I wouldn't rule it out the way the Packers are playing. And, you know, it's been a good offense for a very long time in Green Bay. But, I mean, to think that they're going to go and score 50 again, you just have to have a little bit of a reality check and know that that's kind of an anomaly, especially playing on the road. I don't think they're going to, score that much. They could. I wouldn't rule it out. But, you know, I still got them scoring a lot, 35 points. That's five touchdowns and winning the game by double digits, by two touchdowns, 14 points, the spread 10 points, and kind of interesting, the Minnesota Vikings, a double digit home dog. I got this from Odd Shark the other day. Double digit home dog for only the fourth time since like 1980 or something like that. It's a rare occurrence when they are that much of an underdog at home. We'll see if the Packers can cover that spread. I have them doing it, just not scoring in quite those 50s. But anyway, that'll do it for today's show, folks. Thank you, everybody, so much for tuning in and joining us here on the show. We'll be back again next week, but not until it appears Wednesday next week. So not going to be any episode of Railbird Central on Monday, but that's there's a good reason for it, and that's because I'm going to provide some special coverage on Monday, and I'll be out of the Railbird Central studios. I'm actually headed to Green Bay and the Fox Valley to attend, I think it's four Packers talk shows on local media all in one day on Monday. I'm going to start with the Mike McCarthy show, head to Inside the Huddle, and then go to the Fox Valley Kimberly, where they host another talk show. Coincidentally, it's called In the Huddle, and that's on radio, and then to Clubhouse Live in Appleton. Four Packers talk shows in one day. I'm going to try to hit up and hit this whole circuit of local media, and I'm actually going to get a behind-the-scenes look at a couple places, and so we're going to provide some coverage of that at Cheesehead TV. So excited to do that and bring that to you later next week. But that's the reason why there will be no episode of Railbird Central. So sorry about that, but hopefully we can make up for it. And we'll be back next Wednesday then, as usual, with our typical Wednesday guest, Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. So join us then. On behalf of everybody here at Cheesehead TV, Jamie Snowden, Alex Talich, I'm Brian Kirvu. We'll see you later, folks. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the game on Sunday. Those of you hunting, the start of the gun deer rifle season is this weekend in the state of Wisconsin. Be safe out there, enjoy it, and we'll talk to you next week. I leave you today with a song called Mauna Boa on Psy Fidelity Records by the String Cheese Incident. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go!